Okay, we're in Hilchos Brachos Perek Aleph. We left off with Halacha Tesvav. And again, the Rambam in this first parak is really going through the structure of Brachos in general, as well as some of the general rules that apply to all Brachos. So in Halacha Tesvav, he says, Kol Mevarech Bracha Shein Etzricha, if someone makes a Bracha that's not required, Harei Zeh Nosa Shem Shemayim L'Shav, Rehu K'Nishba L'Shav, Asur La'Anos Acharav Amen. So if a person makes a bracha that's unnecessary, he's saying God's name in vain, and it's prohibited to answer amen after such a bracha. It's important to realize that bracha shein etzricha is a very important and serious halachic category sometimes people don't realize. And even a basic situation, I think I've given this example before. Let's say you go to a restaurant and you plan on having a meal, a sandwich, which means you're going to wash. And the halacha is, as you'll see in a few prakim later, that when you make hamotzi, it paters all of the brachos that you make in the meal. If I make hamotzi on a sandwich, I wouldn't have to make a dama on the vegetables I'm having with it, or whatever it might be. But if they bring out an appetizer, and you know you're going to have hamotzi, so the question is, should you make a separate bracha on the appetizer, or should you wash and have bread, and this way you won't have to make that bracha? That's an example of bracha, of a possible bracha shein etzricha. So be very careful, since when you say a bracha, you are saying the Shem Hashem, so it's important to always make sure that we know that there's a chiyuv, an obligation to say the bracha. Hatinokos is another famous example. Hatinokos melandanos on a brachos ketikunan. Okay, but when it comes to teaching kids, you do teach them how to say the brachos appropriately, meaning using the Shem Hashem. V'afapi Shem Avarchan Levatala, b'shas limun harei zeh mutar. So even though they're saying, so to speak, God's name in vain, right? And it's a bracha lebatala, but since it's l'shem chinuch, it's mutter. So you don't have to teach kids, you don't have to teach them baruch atah Hashem. You could teach them using the Shem Hashem, because that's the way the bracha is said. However, v'ein onen acharein amen, but you don't say amen after their bracha. So let's say you have a small kid, let's say a 7 or 8 year old, and they're making a bracha you're teaching them how to make a bracha on an apple, there's no reason to say amen after that bracha. Okay, so that's not part of chinuch. In other words, what's important to emphasize is that it is part of chinuch for them to learn how to say the bracha using the Shem Hashem, but you should not answer amen to that bracha. You would think that would be the case, right? That why is that not part of chinuch? So it's interesting that the Rambam is saying that for some reason, it's a bigger sugya, but Chazal come along and say that since amen is an acknowledgement of the bracha, it would be like a false acknowledgement. But it's a good question. Why not argue that amen is still part of it? It's a very good question. Very good question. And he says again, v'ha'one acharein amen lo yatzadei chovaso. And of course, if you answer amen to their bracha that kids make, they don't fulfill their obligation. You won't fulfill your own obligation. So if a kid is learning how to make a bracha on, let's say, an apple, and you want to have an apple, you would not be yotzi, or let's say a mitzvah, you would not be yotzi yechiyav listening to his bracha. Okay, halacha tes zayin. More halachas about amen. Kol ha'one amen achar berchosav harei zeh meguna. So if someone answers, it's disgusting behavior to answer amen to your own bracha. Okay. However, va'one achar bracha shehi sof brachos achronos harei zeh meshubach. However, if you answer amen to a bracha that's the last of a series of brachos, that's considered praiseworthy, okay? So we're all familiar with the first one, not as much with the second one. All right, kagon achar bona yushalayim bebirkas amazon. Okay, so and he's going to go more into how this works soon, but when we say bona yushalayim in benching, right, we say bona rachav yushalayim amen. We're saying amen to our own bracha. Okay, that's considered meshubach. So Chazal set up again. This context of learning is not the normative way to be going to the whole sugya if we could. But ultimately, there's an idea that since it's meshubach to answer amen after a series of brachos, so one of those instances is benching. So that's one of the few times we ever do that. The other time, v'achar bracha achrona shel kriyashma shel arvis. Okay, now for us, we say Shoma Yisrael La'ad, right? But the common minhag is not to say Amen after the bracha. And then the Rambam adds to that, V'chein b'sof kol bracha, she'i sof bracha sachronos, ona ba'amen achar atzma. So whenever you have, in general, as a rule of thumb, if you have a series of many brachas together, the last one, you would, it's meshubach to say amen to it. But today, the minog is not to answer amen to our own bracha when it comes to marv. And we'll get to shachris in a second, why that's the case. So Ram is going to explain. Halach yitzayin, v'lam yane amen achar bonu Yerushalayim. But why would you answer amen after bonu Yerushalayim? V'ari acharei berachas atova meitiv, right? But there's one more bracha we make. Remember, there's four brachas in benching. So there's one more bracha we're going to make, right? What do you call it? After we say Bonu Yerushalayim, and that's Hatova Meitiv, right? Which ends with Ali Chasrenu. So he says, Yimei Shebracha Zub Mei Chachmei Mishnah Tiknua Ukiili Tosefes. Because the final bracha in benching, okay, the final bracha in benching was added later on, right, to the main corpus of benching. So the main corpus of benching, which is going to get into soon, how it was constructed, it actually ended with Bonu Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim later on, historically, added that last bracha. So since it's the last bracha, so you're saying amen to the sequence of, we'll call them Doraisa brachas, okay? That ends with Bonu Yerushalayim. And then you have this rabbinical addition that comes up later on. So even though there's still another bracha to go, since its source comes from a different source in the first sets of brachas, that's why you would not answer, that's why you answer amen after Bonu Yerushalayim. Aval sof ikar habracha shel birchas hamazon Bonu Yerushalayim. But the end of the essential blessings of benching is really Bonu Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's really, in a sense, benching ends, the key benching ends at Bonu Yerushalayim. And you'll see how far this halacha goes. And then the bracha afterwards, what do you call it, of that ends with Ayi Chasrenu, was really an additional thing. V'lama lo yane amen achar avas olam. Now, what about in Shacharis? Okay, we don't say amen after Gaal Yisrael. Okay? Okay. So basically, the reason why is very simple. We don't want to create a hefsek. So there's a special idea by Shacharis, so for instance, Smicha Gula Latfila. So answering Amen to our own bracha there, whereas on the one hand, there's a principle that you should answer amen to your own brachas if it's after a sequence of brachas. On the other hand, we don't want to create a hefsek, which is unique to shacharis, between, what do you call it? Well, in this situation, it was unique between Gaal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei. So that's why you don't answer amen to your own bracha over there. Okay? Now, lach yitches, v'lamo lo yane amen achar birchas aperos v'yotiva. Now, why don't we answer amen after we make a bracha, let's say, in an apple? Neishahi bracha achas. Okay? Because it's a solitary bracha. Vein onen amen el achar bracha achrona shekadma osa bracha cheres o brachos. Okay, but again, as he repeats his point, we only answer amen after the final bracha of a sequence of brachos. Okay, or that had a bracha prior to it. So that's the only instances when you'd ever answer amen. Now he gives some other examples. So go on birchos amelach, birchos kohen gadol, chiyotze behen, dodia shekvar hishem kol brachosa v'lfika achrona amen. So the Rambam I'm trying to indicate ultimately is that Amen actually has two. In other words, Amen is the acknowledgement of the truth of the bracha, okay? But actually has a dual function or two roles it could play. It's either the acknowledgement of a specific bracha, right, or it's the acknowledgement of a category of brachos. Meaning, if I finish a sequence of brachos, which we'll call like a unit, so then there's another idea of an acknowledgement that this unit of bracha has been completed as well. So that's the other function that Amen has. So it's either for the individual bracha, as acknowledgement of that I heard the Shem Hashem of this specific bracha, or it's an acknowledgement of this unit of brachas, that this unit of brachas is true. So that's the other instance where Amen can emerge. Halachi Yates. Okay, this is also a famous question that always comes up. Kola Ochel Davar Ha'asar. So let's say someone wants to have a cheeseburger. Bein Bezadon, Bein Bishkaga. Whether it's b'mezid or b'shogeg, in a b'varach halav, lo b'tchilav, lo b'sof. So you don't make a bracha rishana or a bracha achrona on something that is aser to eat. Okay, so if it's prohibited, you don't have to worry about saying a bracha on it. Ketzad, okay, haresh achal tevel, shol divrayim, o she'achal meiser rishon, shol nutlu trumbosov, o meiser sheni, v'hektesh shol niftu, kil chasan, in a b'varach. Okay, so these are all, examples of mitzvos tluyos b'aretz. So let's say, yei tevel, even if it's the rabbanon, or what he called example, Yed Hekdesh, okay, that wasn't Poda. So you would not make a bracha Rishon Achron on that. Of course, Vein Sarach Lomar, Yimachol Nevelo Sutrifo, so Shasi Yai Nesach Yotzebo, which is more applicable today, which is that, of course, if you ate treif, or if you drank Yai Nesach, you would not make a bracha Rishona or Achrona on that. However, there are exceptions. Okay, Halacha Chof. Aval Yimachol Demai, Afi Shein Aroi El Aniyim, O Maiser Rishon Shenutla Trumaso, okay, Afi Shalom Nita Mimenu Cheshman Truma Gedola. So these are instances where you have a suffek, or where there was an incomplete performance of the mitzvah. Okay, so again, these are instances where the produce technically is still, or the item is technically still usher to eat, but it's a conditional isser, meaning that what do you call it? It's really on its way to becoming mutter. As an example, so in those instances, it'd be mutter. You should make a bracha before and afterwards. So it's only where the object is in a state of, we'll call it intrinsic isser. What do you call it? I still would not make a bracha on the, someone wants to know if he's sick. But even if it's mutter, it still means that it's a matir to eat usher food. But the food is still usher to eat. So that it shouldn't change the status of making a bracha. All right, halacha, now parak beis. Okay, so now, as Rama mentioned in the Koseres, right, the one mitzvah doraisa of brachas is benching. So that's going to be the one he's going to take up first, naturally, because that's the one that actually has a Torah source word. So in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, he tells us, Seder Berchas Hamazon Kachi. So this is the order of benching. Rishona Berchas Hazan, okay? Shnia, what do you call it? Berchas Haaretz, okay? Shlishis Bonu Shalayim, right? So we have the three brachos, right? You have Hazan Esakol, right? You have Arzal Mazon, and then you have Bona Yushalayim. And then Revi is a Tova Metiv. Okay? Bracha Rishona Moshe Rabbeinu Taknat. So the first bracha, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who formulated. Because remember, Hashem never says to us in the Torah, this is what benching is. Okay? Hashem says, V'achalta V'savata. So Moshe took that idea and gave it teeth, so to speak. He gave it a structure. He formulated the first bracha. Shnia Tiken Yoshua. Now, Yoshua adds in the second bracha, which if you look at what the second bracha is really about, its essential features are about Eretz Yisrael. And it made sense for Yoshua to be masakin that because he was leading kibush. He was leading the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. So the second bracha, Yoshua institutes. Right? Shlishis tikin David Shlomo Beno. The third bracha, which as we know, deals with themes of the Beis HaMikdash, right? David and Shlomo enact. And then Revius Chachmei Mishnah Tiknua, and the fourth one, it wasn't until times of the Mishnah that this fourth one was created. That is interesting that we consider the first three brachos to really be the Iker benching, meaning that they all reflect the Doraisa imperative. Even though it wasn't given over, God didn't give over to Moshe the text of benching, and not only that, the entire text of benching of the Doraisa benching wasn't even in place until after David and Shlomo, meaning that, let's say, in the times of Yeshua, you were only saying the first two brachos of benching. But the answer lies in the fact that there are certain concepts that benching must contain, but they were only relevant as our historical story unfolded. So it would make no sense to put in the ideas of let's say, that in Rachem, Hashem Elokeinu, until the times of David and Shlomo. But the key point is that when you look at benching from a structural standpoint, you should see the first three brachos as one unit, and then Hatov Meitiv as a separate part of benching. Of course, as you'll soon see, there's no mention at all of Harachamans. So that was that. Although that's a minug that comes in the times of the Gaonim, that is not part of benching. It's a Tosefest. It's an addition to the addition of Hatov Meitiv, and that's the role that plays. Okay, now it's interesting halacha and halacha beis. Another one where today, for some reason, a lot of people don't take this so seriously, but it's definitely real halacha. Hapoalim, okay? Shayu osim halacha etzel balabayis. So these are workers, okay? These are workers who are working for somebody else. They're employees, okay? So what do you call it? So what's the halacha? The achlu piton, imivarchan lefanea, okay? Umivarchan la'achar sudasan shtei brachas bilvad. Okay? Kidei shal yivatlu meleches balabayis. Now, again, let's understand, and this is something that I think through our modern day sensitivities, we don't really recognize where the hierarchy is in halacha. Okay, the Rambam's telling us, based on the Gemara, that if our workers, if let's say you are at work and you know, your boss hired you to work 9 to 5, and you don't get a lunch hour, okay? But you got to take a few minutes to eat. But he wants you working on something, and he's paying you to work on whatever the project might be. So Rabbanon came along and said, you do not have to make a bracha rishona on bread. And when it comes to benching, you only say two of the brachos of benching. Why? Because you're not allowed to be mevata the malacha that you were hired for. So if you're hired for a job, okay, again, since brachos were misakin by Chazal, they felt that it's more important, halachically, that you're truthful in your job work, meaning that you don't take away from working for your boss. If your boss hired you for X, that you only work for X. You don't take any unnecessary time away from working for your boss, to the point where you do not have to make a motzi. And when it comes to benching, you say a shortened version of benching afterwards. Fascinating idea. I don't know any. I've never heard of anyone today who does this. Okay, let's put it in today's terms. If let's say you're working, You work for a hedge fund, and the market's open 9 to 5, and it requires your complete attention during that period of time. There's no question this halacha would apply. That if your job requirement is for you to be focused on this on whatever you're supposed to be working on, so Chazal felt that it's more important that a person be dedicated to work, right? Because that's what he was hired for. That takes a higher priority than making brachos, to the point where they suspended making the bracha of a motzi and shortening benching. And what is a shortened benching? Bracha rishona ketiknua. So you have to say the first bracha the way it was written. Okay. Poseach bebercha sa'aretz. You start off with the second bracha, right? The kol aval bonu yishalayim, the chosen bebercha sa'aretz. You somehow, you put bonu yishalayim into the second bracha, some thematic elements of Beis HaMikdash. And then you end off with al'aretz al'mazon. So you only end up having two brachas, but you put some of the ideas of Bonu Yerushalayim into the second bracha. V'mhayu osin b'usudasan bilvad, o shahaya balabayis mesav iman, b'varchan arba brachas kitkuna gishar kaladam. But this is only if, let's say, you don't really get a lunch break, okay? But let's say, Let's say the boss says, listen, from 12 to 1 is your lunch hour, okay? Meaning you're not working at that period of time. So then, of course, all the normative halachas of benching would apply, okay? So the key point he's talking about is, if you're in a situation where, let's say you're hired for, a six-hour job and no breaks, right? So then a person would not have to say hamotzi and say a short benching afterwards. Okay, halacha gimel. Okay, bircha sa'aretz. Okay, so this is the second bracha of no delacha. Sarach lomar hodaya bitchilasa uvesofa. So you must, the text of it must include gratitude, okay, both in the beginning, or thanks, both in the beginning and end of the bracha. Okay, no delacha Hashem Alkeinu. That's what we're saying. That's considered like Lashon of Modim. V'chosem ba al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon. And we end off with, al ha'aretz v'al ha'mazon. So that's the end of the bracha, okay? V'kol shelo amar eretz chenda tova urchava v'rechos aretz. Okay? Anyone doesn't say these words, now, you should already get a hint to the fact that the Rambam is implying that even though Yehoshua was misaking, the second bracha, he's implying that the text of this second bracha, right, wasn't quite as fixed as we tend to think. Because as you'll see, like, for instance, what do you mean, why wouldn't a person say Eretz Chantov Rechava? You'll see there's different versions of the text that appeared. So what the Rambam's trying to focus on is which elements are essential to fulfill your obligation in benching. So in the second bracha, this is critical. You must mention Eretz Chema Tov Rechava, all right? Because that's referring to the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. That Sarach Lahazkirah Bris V'Torah Lahakdim Bris L'Torah. And the second bracha must also contain mentioning of the covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, and that the Bris, right, meaning Bris Mila, must come before Torah. Shabris Hazo, Shal Berichas Aretz, He Bris Mila. Shenichasru Olav Shlosh Asrei Brisos. That Torah kula nechrasu aleha shlosh brisos, right? So by bris mila, right, there are 13 covenants, so to speak, and by the Torah, right, it was 3 covenants. Shenemar ela divrei bris milvada bris shakaras namachorav atamitzavim lavachav bris. So it's an interesting extra point that Rambam's adding here, but the bris mila, the idea of bris mila, comes before Torah because there were more references to bris mila and the covenants that we had with God through Bismillah than there were through Torah itself. But the point is that the two critical elements that must be contained in the second bracha are references to Eretz Yisrael, as well as Bris Milah and Torah, and that Bris Milah must come before Torah. Halacha Dalet. Now, what about the third bracha? Okay. Bracha Shlishis, which is Rachem as we know today. Poseach ba Rachem Hashem Achin Alino Va'al Yisrael Mecha, Va'al Shem Yirecha, Va'al Tzom Shem Kodecha, or, oh, Nachameinu Hashem Alkeinu B'Shalai Yirecha. Okay? So again, it's interesting that there's no set text. The key thing is that you must start off, and as we'll see soon in a second, end off, with Nechama, with the idea of comfort. So either it's Rachem, right, or Nachameinu, which do have similar concepts, but either one will be an appropriate opening to this third bracha. Okay, v'chosen ba, bona Yerushalayim, o menachem amo Yisrael ben Yerushalayim. And you end that bracha either with bona Yerushalayim, which would be to the Rachem version, or menachem amo Yisrael ben Yerushalayim, which would be to the Nachameinu. Okay, ulefikach nikras bracha zu nechama. That's why this bracha is known as the comforting bracha. Okay? Now, the Chol Mishalo Amar Machlus Beis David bracha zu, and anyone who doesn't mention the Machlus of David HaMelech in this bracha, does not fulfill his obligation. Nei shehi inyan bracha. She'ein nechama gemura ela b'chazars Machlus Beis David. Because there's no idea of a complete comforting until Machlus Beis David is returned. Okay? Now, of course, with Tisha B'Av, not that far away. So we do say Nachem in in our davening by Mincha of Tisha B'Av, and that's a very similar idea. It's interesting that for those who have bread daily and certainly on Shabbos, Nechama, we'll get to Shabbos in a second, but Nechama, this idea of Nechama is actually a recurrent and constant theme. So again, one thing we see in Halacha Dalet is the text of benching wasn't fixed in stone to such a high extent. And number two, the various themes that are necessary to fulfill your obligation. Okay? Now Halacha Hey, this gets a little more practical, but Shabbos Yom Tovim, Maskel Menachama, Umasai Menachama. So even on Shabbos and Yantov, you start your Bracha Shlishis with Nechama and with Nechama. The Omer Kedusha Sayom Be'emsa. So what the one addition is, which is called Einam Ora, there's some reference to the sanctity of the day that you add into the benching. So where does it belong? It belongs in the third bracha. Ketzad, Maskel Nachameinu Hashem Akeinu B'tzion Yirecha, Orachem Hashem Akeinu Hashem Akecha, V'Hashem Yirecha, U'Mesayim Nacham Amo Yisrael Bin Yishlayim Bon Yishlayim. The Omer Be'emsa, and what you say in the middle is, B'Shabbos Elokeinu Elokei V'Sonu Ritzei V'Achal Yitzenu. And I know today Ashkenazim say Ritzei, but it does appear that the early girsos of the additions of any addition to tefillah or benching, right, would always have star of Elokeinu Elokei Avosenu, like we say by Yalav Yavo, okay? So, Kiyom Tegadol Kishul Filecha, et cetera, et cetera. So he has the whole text over here. And then, going to the end of it, of Yavim Tovim, Omer Yalav Yavo, right? And Yontov, you say Yalav Yavo. V'chein Rosh HaKadoshim V'chol Shemoed, most events of Bracha Shishis Yalav Yavo. So as we all know, you add in Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh and Cholamoid and Yantav. Okay, Halacha Vav on Chanukah, B'Chanukah, B'Purim, Mosif Emsa Bircha Saaretz. In the second bracha, we add in Al Hanizim. What do you call it? Kederach Shemosif Etvila. What do you call it? So in Chanukah and Purim, we add in the second bracha Al Hanizim, just like we do on Tefila. Okay, and that goes there because the second bracha is about Hodah. The Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh, Shechalios B'Shabbos, Mazkir Ritzei V'Chalitzeinu Tchila. Right? And Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, that falls out on Shabbos, we say Ritzei first. Okay? V'Acharach Yalav Yavo. So as we all know, if it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, so what do? We say in the third bracha, first Ritzei, and then Yalav Yavo, V'chein Rosh Chodesh Teveh, Shechalios B'Shabbos, Mazkir Anisim, Birchas Aretz, Ritzei V'Chalitzeinu Yalav Yavo, B'Nechama. Okay? And that's the famous case of Shabbos, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Alach Zayin, bracha revius. Okay, so now this is the extra bracha that was misakin in the times of the Chacham and the Mishnah. Tzarech lahazkir ba sholosh machios. Okay, so there has to be a reference to three kings or kingships. Okay, which is what we say in if you look at the text, you see we mentioned that in there. Now he adds this extra point here, which is another very important alacha. Ugushimavarech haoreach etzal balabayis. Now when a guest does what's called Birchas HaOreach, okay? for those who say harachamans, it's the harachaman. I don't even remember the text anymore. But one of the harachamans talks about the bracha that the guest gives to the balabais. That's not even what you're supposed to say. Okay, after you finish benching, meaning after you finish Ali Chasrenu, if you're a guest at someone's house, you're obligated to make a special bracha called Birchas Arech. Okay, so Kushvar Harech Eitzel Balabais, most of a bracha le Balabais. You add a bracha, okay, there's an additional bracha that the Arech makes for the Balabais. Ketza. Omer Yehi Ratzon Shlo Yevosh Balabais Balamazeh, Lo Yecholim Lolam Haba. Right, now it's interesting in this Girsa they add Vichule, okay, which in the Siddur Rambam he doesn't have. All right, meaning that the Rambam actually, most probably, his text ends with simply Lo Yecholim Lolam Haba. Okay, but if you look at many benchers today, they add in extra lines, okay, which is fine. There's no reason why you can't say that, because the Rambam says V'yishlo Rishus Lahosu V'Berchas Balabayis L'Harachba, and a person has the right to go ahead and add what he wants to that bracha. So let's say you're eating at your friend's house. So after Ali Chasrenu, you would say Yiratzon Shlo Yevosh Balabayis B'Lamazev V'Lo Yikalim La'Olam Haba, and then you could add in and say, and I hope that in the construction of his house that he saves money, whatever it might be. A person has the right to add what he wants to that to extra brachos to the Berchas Arech. Okay, but it's important to emphasize that even if you do say the Harachamans, the truth is that Berchas Harech should come right after you finish Bracha Revias. So if you do say the Harachamans and you're a guest at someone's house, what should happen is you say Bracha Revias, then you make Berchas Harech, and then you will continue saying the Harachamans, and then not say that Harachaman that has to do with being a guest at someone's house. That would seem to be the appropriate way to do it if you're in that situation. Okay, let's stop